Good morning. Welcome to Ephesus Baptist on this beautiful Sabbath day. This is God's house. He has provided it for us to come and to worship and to praise Him. And I just ask you, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen indeed. Those of us who've been attending Wednesday night Bible study have been studying a topic called Revealing the Mysteries of Heaven. And of course, as part of that study, we occasionally touch on the second coming. And that's always an interesting topic, but I think sometimes we look at it from a perspective that is not correct, and we get bogged down in details that we don't need to be have as a major concern. And in our text this morning, we'll be reading from 2 Thessalonians. But in his first letter to the church at Thessalonica that Paul wrote from Corinth, he talked about Jesus' return and people being ready for that return. And apparently, there was confusion among the members of the church there at Thessalonica, and some people thought that Jesus was coming now at the time they were living, and so they decided that there was no need for them to work or do anything. So Paul writes the second letter to them and tries to clear up the confusion regarding his first letter, and I'd like to read from that second letter, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 4 through 13. So I invite you and encourage you to follow along in your Bible as I read 2 Thessalonians 3, 4 through 13. We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command. Of course, Paul is talking about himself and Silas and Timothy are the ones that have confidence that they will continue to do the things that they have talked about. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we command you, brothers, to keep away from every brother who is idle and does not live according to the teaching you receive from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked day and night, laboring and toiling so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we do not have the right to such help, but in order to make ourselves a model for you to follow. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule: if a man will not work, he shall not eat. We hear that some among you are idle. They are not busy, they are busybodies. Such people we command and urge in the name, urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the bread they eat. And as for you, brothers, never tire of doing what is right. May God add his blessing to our reading, hearing, and studying of his word. You know, Thomas Fuller was born in Africa in 1710, and he was sold in slavery in Virginia in 1724. Now, Mr. Fuller taught himself to figure in his head how many shingles it would take to shingle a roof, how many posts it would take to enclose an area. And eventually, he learned to calculate the building materials for any construction product in his head quicker than 99 out of 100 engineers could calculate with pen and pencil. And near the end of his life, Thomas Fuller was asked if he regretted not having a formal education, because he never had a day of formal education. And he answered, "No, it be best that I got no learning, for some men of great learning be great fools." Some men of great learning be great fools. And this is often true in regard to the Bible. Sometimes preachers and teachers who know the Bible content miss the point of a passage of Scripture or of a Scripture verse. And this occurs particularly in regard to the second coming of Jesus. Many individuals and groups have become so bogged down in attempting to interpret signs of the second coming or to identify the Antichrist. Our text, as I said, follows the first letter of Paul, in which he talked about the end times. And apparently, as I said, some of the members of this church at Thessalonica thought Jesus was coming so soon that they did not have to work. They used imminent return with immediate return. As we know, imminent return means that Jesus shall return at some point, but the specific date is not known, whereas immediate means Jesus is returning now. And those who believe they did not have to work because Jesus was returning so soon misunderstood the second coming prophecy. And throughout history, people have misunderstood it. Throughout history, people have tried to identify the Antichrist. Early Christians suspected some of the Roman emperors who persecuted them. Victims of the Inquisition suspected some members of the Catholic Church as being the Antichrist. Many of us are old enough to have heard even sermons comparing Hitler, Mussolini, or Hirohito with the Antichrist. And more recently, there has been speculation regarding Charles Manson, Henry Kissinger, and even Barack Obama. We tend to get bogged down in the details. And the most famous organization that I could find for predicting second coming dates, I think, has to be Jehovah's Witnesses. Charles Taz Russell, whose followers founded Jehovah's Witnesses, prophesied Jesus would return in 1877. He sold his 6 clothing stores for what would have been $7 million in today's money and began giving it away. And of course, Jesus did not return in 1877. Jehovah's Witnesses stated that 1925 was a date firmly established in the Scriptures. In fact, they said it was more evidence to believe Jesus was returning in 1925 than there was evidence for Noah to believe that a flood would come upon the earth. Jehovah's Witnesses again suspected that Jesus would return in 1929. And they believed before his return that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob would be resurrected to announce the coming of Jesus. So a house was built for them to occupy when they returned to earth to await Jesus. And Judge Rutherford, who happened to be the president of Jehovah's Witnesses at that time, so graciously agreed to live in that mansion and maintain it until those prophets returned. I'm smiling because we know what happened. There have been testimonies of Jehovah's Witnesses who believe the prophecies regarding Jesus' return in 1975. They talked about going door to door in affluent neighborhoods in which they wished to live, picking out the houses in which they wished to live when Jesus returned. And this was because Jehovah Witnesses are taught that only 144,000 will go to heaven, and other faithful witnesses will live in paradise here on earth. And so they thought that, of course, people who were not Jehovah's Witnesses would be removed from the earth and their houses would be free for the taking. Some men of great learning be great fools. Not only are they fools, sometimes they suffer for their foolishness. There was an excerpt in 1969, July edition of the Jehovah's Witnesses publication and called The Kingdom Ministry. And this is what it said. In view of the short time left before the second coming, a decision to pursue a career in this system of things is not only unwise, but extremely dangerous. Many young brothers and sisters were offered scholarships or employment that promised fine pay. However, they turned them down and put their spiritual interests first. Some Jehovah's Witnesses graduating from high school turned down scholarships to college. Some college graduates turned down jobs with really great pay. Why? Because their leaders told them that they knew that Jesus was coming back in 1975. And when their leaders were wrong again, of course, the scholarships and the jobs had been given to others. Even some witnesses sold their homes and used the money to live on while going to door teaching this false gospel. And in 1976, when their leaders were proven wrong again, they had nothing left. I'm not trying to pick on Jehovah's Witnesses, but that's just one group of people who spent inordinate amount of time and money trying to calculate the date of the return of Jesus. And we know his word says it's a secret. Paul told us in 1 Thessalonians that it was a secret. Too often people suffer for the efforts they put into trying to determine the date of the second coming. Too often preachers and teachers stopped early when reviewing scriptures regarding the second coming. They failed to point out passages regarding the Antichrist and passages regarding signs of the second coming consistently contain commands for us as Christians to perform before the second coming. They talk about the second coming and what are the signs of the second coming. And they talk about the description of the Antichrist and where the Antichrist will come from and, you know, what his rule will be like. Instead of going further and saying what God's word teaches us that we are to do before the second coming, I want us to look at some verses which follow end time passages that often are not brought out in a speech or in a sermon. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, Paul says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up." As Christians, we are to do this before the second coming. 2 Peter 3:11 and 14, "You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with Him." Be ready. Be prepared. Luke 21:36. Jesus is speaking. Be always on the watch and pray that you may escape all that is about to happen, and that you may stand before the Son of God. Again, be ready. Be prepared. Accept that gift of salvation. Be a child of God so that you can avoid all that's going to happen and you can stand before Jesus. Again, in Matthew 24:44-46, Jesus says, "So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect Him. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he arrives." We're not going to know. Jesus says, you know, I'm coming at a time when you'll least expect me. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians, it's a secret. Don't concern yourself about those who are asleep and those who are not sleeping, whatever. It's a secret. We have to be prepared. We have to be ready. We should be like the wise servant, continuing to do our job until our master returns. We should continue to fulfill our duties as a child of God faithfully until Jesus returns. You know, when archaeologists were exhuming Pompeii, the city which was buried by the eruption of Mount Vesuvius in 79 AD, they discovered an interesting artifact. It was basically a silhouette, but it was of a Roman soldier whom they determined was standing guard duty when he was buried with the hot lava from the volcano. 1,933 years later, we don't know that soldier's name, but we do know he was faithfully fulfilling his duties. And 1,933 years from now, God will know our name. But the question is, will He also know we were faithful to our calling and we did the commands He gave us when we saw the signs of the second coming? And we don't have time this morning, nor am I prepared to discuss with you the signs of the second coming which have already manifested themselves to us. The Christian bookstores are replete with books that enumerate those events and can use God's word to support those happenings already. Scripture passages referring to the second coming consistently contain commands for Christians. So prophecies of the second coming are not given for us to try to guess when an event will occur or to guess who is the Antichrist. Prophecies of the second coming were given in God's word in order that we may be prepared for that coming. As Dr. Jeremiah has told us in our Bible study, we need to make our reservation in heaven now. There's still space this very moment to do that, but there may not be reservations this afternoon, tonight, tomorrow, next year. You can't call ahead and find out how many spaces are left. We just have to make our reservation now. We have to be prepared. And that's the purpose of the second coming prophecies, to teach us to be prepared and to inspire us to be obedient to the commands that God has given us and to accept God's gift of salvation before it's too late. When we see second coming events being fulfilled, they are there to motivate us to keep busy, to pray, to be watchful, to lead holy lives, to encourage one another, to build each other up, and to fulfill our calling as Christians. So if you're here today and you haven't made that reservation, the second coming is inevitable. It's imminent. Is it immediate? I don't know. God's word tells us no human knows. It could be at 12:30 today. It could be at 12:30 10 years from now. Are you willing to roll the dice and take the chance that you've got time to make that reservation? I hope not. I hope if you haven't accepted Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit will enter you here today and you'll do that. And if He does and you do, we would be delighted to share that with everyone here. If you would like to come forward and tell me, and I'll pray with you, and we'll let everyone know that you have accepted Jesus as your Savior. And if you wish to become a body of this believers, we'll talk about that also. But please come as we sing our hymn of invitation, number 326.